Several years ago, Secretary Clinton wrote a book called It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. Well, that is true. It does take a village to raise a child, but it takes a mother to be that village. Because you realize what all a mother actually has to do. She's probably everybody in the village. I mean, she is the taxi driver or the bus driver, whichever, depending on how many children that she has to take to the soccer practices, to the baseball games, to the piano practices, to the ballet practices, or whatever else that there might be, the lessons that she has to take them to. She's a bus driver. She's also the chief chef in most houses, and she is the cook. She's also the shopper that has to go out and get those things at the grocery store. She is the cleaner, the one that is the maid, the one that is the one that has to clean up. Even though dads may help, she's usually the one who does the most of it. She is the counselor when there's advice that needs to be done. She's the one that you can go to. She is the one that makes up the laws, so she is the lawmaker. She can make the rule that you don't play in the street, and it is the law. And when you think that you can get away from her because of the law that she's made, realize that she's also the chief of police. She will come out and she will grab you and snatch you out of that road when you were not supposed to be there. Then the bad news comes along this way. She's also the jury that is going to try you, and she's the judge that's going to sentence you. And if you think you're going to escape from that, you're going to find out that she's also the executioner. She is the one who is the doctor who takes care of you when you have your bobos. She's the one that will give you the doctor's prescriptions. She's the one who will defend you. She will defend you before others. She's the one that loves you so much that she'll become the preacher sometimes, and she will give you what God's word actually says. She's a teacher that stays with you when you have your lessons that you have to turn in, your homework. She's the comforter. She's everybody in the village. The mom is the everybody in the village. In fact, the value of a good mother cannot be overstated. I believe that a child can sometimes forget that. I believe that there are sometimes we may take that for granted. We may take our mothers for granted. But let me let you know that when we are in our right minds, we know that we can't overstate her value. So I would like to look at one good mom that's in the Bible. There's lots of good moms. I'm not trying to tell you there's only one good mom. This is my 16th Mother's Day here at this church. And the fact is, I had to ask people which mothers that I have preached on and which ones I hadn't preached on. And I was trying to not preach on somebody I had before. So we're going to look at a mom that we don't even know her name. She didn't get her name printed in the scripture, but she was very important. She was a very good mother, and I'll bet that as some of you have had some very good mothers yourself, you're going to remember your own mom in this way and how she did the very same things as this good mom. We're going to find this scripture that we're going to find this mom in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The scripture says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" Now, I don't know how you would look at this, but the way I looked at this, I looked at this mom that she's a Canaanite. Jesus has gone into this area. He was going to get some rest. He was getting away from the crowds at this point. He goes into an area that he probably shouldn't have been so well known. Here is this woman that she comes up. And I realized that she had a need that's so great. She was coming to him in order to get him to fix that need. For a good mother meets the need of her child. She is crying out. She is begging. It reminds me of that parable that Jesus told about the ungodly judge, the one that, you know, didn't honor God and didn't honor man. And the widow who would keep coming to that judge. And finally, the judge says, "I'm going to give this woman what she wants and more simply because she won't leave me alone." Well, what happens is this mom was, she was going to try to meet the needs of her child. Let's go on and read what else it says about her. "But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now you see this? I mean, see the instances that she has that she should have been discouraged and left. But a good mother persistently seeks the welfare of her child. She came to Jesus when she had to know that the Jews did not want to put up with Canaanites. You see, the problem that the Jews had is they felt like that they lived in the with the Canaanites, and it was the Canaanites that caused them to not do what the law had said, and therefore they had lost God's favor in all of this. They got sent out of the land. They were gone to Babylon for a while. They ended up, when they came back, they still were under the oppression later of the Romans, and they really felt that if they could keep themselves pure from these people, then what they would do is that they would have God's blessing with them again. But she goes where she is not really welcome, and it's evident that is here. And so she goes where they would try to send her away. But she would not go away. In fact, she was not even stopped at Jesus' silence. At first it says that he didn't even say a word to her. Because, you see, I believe a good mother knows that there are times when Jesus is silent. And what I'm trying to say here is that nearly every mom is going to have a time when her child is sick. That fever is going to go up. And especially when they're little, that mom is going to pray and pray and pray. And here's what happens. It seems like just when we're desperate enough, Jesus is absolutely silent. But you see, the good mom continues on. She continues on in her prayer. Now, why would God be silent? Well, God's silence makes us wait. We learn that we're not the masters of the universe and of our own fate in this. We learn that God does not need to talk or to show us visible action and constantly prove himself. See, our patience grows in his silence, and our determination is tried in his silence. Silence sometimes has more than one reason. I mean, certainly Daniel prayed and he fasted when he didn't understand a vision that he had. And he prayed for 3 weeks, and there was an angel that was sent to him. But the angel was fighting in a demonic war. So there could be something that happens that keeps God silent in that. He sends the answer, but it can't get there because of the evil that is in the area. Job certainly has no answer for all the things that are going on with him because he is being tested. I can tell you in my own life that when I was waiting to become a pastor, and I wanted to become a pastor so badly, I had to wait 8 years and 3 months and before I actually where I started praying to the point that I became a senior pastor. And there were a lot of times that God is silent, but God is silent sometimes, and moms will have those times when God is silent and their children have a need and have no word from God. It might not be sickness. It might be that child is making bad choices, but a good mom goes on in the silence. And so she wouldn't even stop, even when the disciples insisted that she leave. I can't imagine her saying, "Oh, if I just get a little more discouragement, I've got it made here." She just continued to get discouragement. And yet she continued on. See, a good mother is insistent and persistent when her child's health is in jeopardy. I know that lots of you are good moms, and I know that a lot of you have great moms. But I will tell you that I believe my wife is a great mom too. In fact, my wife is one of those kinds of people that you better not get in the way of her and what she thinks her children need. I have seen her get into doctor's appointments that the doctor said they weren't going to take any more patients. I have seen her when she's fought with the insurance companies, and they pay us stuff that they didn't even owe us. You know, they've got those people and the lawyers that are on TV that say, we'll get the insurance companies to pay you. Well, the lawyers will send the money to my wife. She's that persistent. She can get the lawyers to give them the money, even when they don't owe it. So my wife is very persistent when it comes to her children. And that's what you have when you have a good mom. For a good mother refuses to call something impossible when it's only difficult. Good mom continues on. Let's go on to scripture. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. How would you have responded to that? I know how I would have responded to that. And I looked at this and I said, look at the humility of this woman. Look at the humility of this woman. I said, a good mother is humble. Because in this process, she was just called a dog. I want you to know, you don't call people a dog and they just really enjoy it. Most of the time they call you a dog by calling you a son of a dog. And you don't respond well to it. And isn't that about the most off-putting thing you can say? I said, get out of here, you dog. That's what it sounds like. Now, Jesus is stating this with a purpose. We see this in the very end. So he presents himself. He's saying, I do this for the Jews first. I'm not come to you. But this woman is so humble in this, even putting her down is not going to put her in a position where she's going to go away. Moms are created for humility almost. I have to say that. I mean, you got to realize that the way they got to be moms, it started off with something called labor. And you should know that if it starts with labor, it's going to have some humility that goes in within it. And so, and what a mom initially does, not only does she feed this child who has absolutely no regard for how much sleep that she has at night, who has no regard for way things smell in the room, has no regard for the messes that it makes, and that mom loves that child. And when the child gets older, and maybe they come in the teenage years, the child doesn't want to be seen with mom sometimes. And when she takes her own daughter, for example, in our lives, we had daughters, they may not even walk beside them in the mall because they don't want to be seen with their mom. And then there'll be those times when they feel whatever these children feel and might even say to their mom, I hate you. I hate you for all of this. A mom is a humble person, and she should be honored for her humility in that. Let's go on. But here's what she says in verse 27. She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I looked at that story there and I said, you know what it says to me? This good mother, a good mother, is wise. She's called a dog. Now, this word means that it's a household pet. Only the wealthy had a household pet. I wonder if that means the woman was from a wealthy household, and yet she's called a dog, and yet she doesn't take offense by it. But she must have known what the dogs are going to get, and she's willing to take what the dogs would get, because she doesn't ask Jesus, can I sit at the table with you? I'll take the crumbs. And she is wise to answer this way, because the natural response is when somebody calls you a name is to call them a name right back. That's a natural response. That's my problem, especially when I'm riding my bicycle and somebody doesn't like the fact that I'm riding the bicycle for whatever reason. And they call out a name and I usually want to call out something back to them. You know what I've had to learn? I've had to learn that before I leave the church or where I leave home, I have to make a decision. I am not going to do that sort of thing. This mom is, I think, naturally wise. And so she doesn't do that. She doesn't try to, she doesn't get upset. She's wisdom all the way through. And then in verse 28, then Jesus answered her. You realize this. He's been silent to her. He's had the disciples. They've told her to go away. She said he's called her she has nothing to do with him. She said, I didn't come to you. She tells him that he tells her that she's a dog. And now, with all of her humility and wisdom and persistence, Jesus says, then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. And one other thing I need to tell you about this good mom. See, a good mother is full of faith. She had called Jesus the Son of David. That's a messianic name. She must have known more about Jesus than even a lot of the Jews did at that time. She knew that he could heal her daughter. She believed that Jesus is a healer. She wasn't asking for Jesus to treat her. She was asking for Jesus to heal her daughter. And she saw him as who he was. He was the answer to her prayers. She saw him as who he was. She said that her daughter had a demon. And who can cast out demons? Well, it's not going to be just any old person. And it's certainly not going to be as the religious leaders would say to Jesus, you're casting out Beelzebub by Beelzebub. You're not casting out the devil by the devil. You know, that it must be God himself that can cast out those demons. And so in her persistence, she has come to this spot that she's realized, you know, this is the Jesus that the only reason that he would heal my daughter is because of his great love. Because he is the great God, and she depended on that. You realize what happened here? It's something that I've been kind of harping on for last few weeks. What God wants us to do is to walk with him. And God may put those challenges in our life, like I've talked about last week and the week before that, those challenges, those crises in our lives, and his purpose ultimately is what? That we will walk with him, that we will get on the path with him. And what this woman did in her humility and her wisdom and her persistence was this. She said, with all of this, she didn't take offense, she didn't run off. She said, I will walk with you. And let me tell you something, folks. Once you understand that Jesus wants you to walk with him, everything else makes sense. And she walked with him. And Jesus said, you got a lot of faith. You got a lot of faith. And gave her exactly what she asked for. Pray with me.